The strain between the U.S. and some of its European allies is beginning to show a serious rift in a cross-Atlantic relationship that has been the foundation of international security since World War II. American political leaders talk about old Europe and new Europe. What is the future of U.S. relationships with its European allies? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Conservative political columnist William Safire recently described the emergence of what some pundits are calling an old Europe and a new Europe. He writes, quote, "On the old Europe side, strike-bound France and jobless Germany, backed up by the full power of Belgium and Luxembourg, are attempting to rally a group to counter what they claim to see as American dominance. So far, the only recruit is Putin's Russia, glad to be asked to join anything European. Fortunately, this Franco-German attempt to dominate neighbors generated the emergence of New Europe. Britain, Spain, Italy, and other Western Europeans are unimpressed with the United States' big bully cowboy. They found common political cause with the nations of Eastern Europe," unquote. Just how serious are the rifts between the U.S. and the nations of Central Europe? The UK-based Telegraph News Service recently ran an article titled, "Old Europe Presses Ahead with Plans for an EU Army." Author Ambrose Evans Pritchard writes, quote, "Old Europe threw down the gauntlet at the feet of Britain, the United States, and the Atlantic Alliance, unveiling plans for a new Euro army with its own military headquarters," unquote. French President Jacques Chirac is quoted as saying, quite naturally, "a multipolar world is being created, whether one likes it or not. It's inevitable. For balance to exist, there will have to be a strong Europe. Relations between the European Union and the United States will have to be a partnership between equals." David Palmer reports on the formation of this European military force.
It may not mean much to most people in North America, Gary, but to those in Europe, depending on America for military protection is a thorn in the side of a majority of European politicians. A recent article appeared in a British newspaper headlined, "Don't Laugh, the European Army is on the March." That same article declared that EU leadership sees a strong need for a foreign minister whose responsibility would be to create a unified European foreign policy. As one EU politician put it, never again should Europeans be forced to watch in frustration as the Americans give some tin-pot dictator a good kicking. An obvious reference, of course, to the war in Iraq. And when France celebrated Bastille Day on July the 14th, 2003, for the first time, security was provided not by a French military, but by a combination of European forces from as many as five members of the EU. A recent poll of people who work in European institutions showed that by 2-1, they wanted the British and French places on the United Nations Security Council replaced by a single EU seat. And in late June of this year, 2003, members of the European Parliament voted to create a European Armaments and Research Agency, which would be responsible for a harmonized weapons purchasing policy, as well as a harmonized foreign policy, thus scrapping the current intergovernmental approach. The European Convention, that's the body drawing up an EU constitution led by Chairman Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, has proposed more convergence in military affairs. There, of course, are skeptics who say that a European army, like European taxation, European criminal jurisdiction, and the European monetary system, can't or won't work. But many political pundits agree that won't stop it from happening.
How serious is the rift between the U.S. and what many politicians and news commentators are calling old Europe? We're joined today in our Cincinnati radio studio by Tom Kirkpatrick, a minister in the United Church of God. Tom, thanks once again for talking with us today on Good News.
It's a pleasure, Gary.
You know, with the rise of Islamic terrorism and the U.S. involvement in the Middle East, there's been a renewed interest, I think, among a lot of people in biblical prophecy. The current strife between the United States and what some are calling old Europe can have some disturbing consequences on the world scene in just the near future. Now, is the rise of a European superpower prophesied in the Bible?
Well, Gary, it is simply not possible for us to predict or know the future with certainty unless there is someone who controls the future and who has chosen to reveal it to us. If that is not the case, then we are only left with idle human speculation and predictions on questions such as you've raised today. But, Gary, there is a God, and he is sovereign over his creation, and he has a plan. He is involved in human history. He does intervene in it to the degree that it is necessary to bring his plan to fruition. And he has chosen to reveal the outline of what will happen on the earth between and among nations, and especially in the times we are living in now, just prior to the return of the resurrected Jesus Christ to the earth. So I want our listeners to note, in response to your question, what it says in the second chapter of the book of Daniel. Verse 26, it says, "There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days." The prophet Daniel was a Jew from Jerusalem who had been taken captive to Babylon by the armies of the king of the Babylonian Empire, this man Nebuchadnezzar. This was 600 years before the birth of Christ. Nebuchadnezzar had a troubling dream in which a great statue appeared to him and later was destroyed by a stone which crashed into the feet of the statue, unaided by human hands. God, who controls the future so as to fulfill his plan, gave to Daniel the understanding that this statue represented four successive dominant empires in human history, empires which were allowed by God, but influenced primarily by human motivations and Satan himself. Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon was to be the first of the four, the gold head of the statue, and was to be followed by three others: Persia, the silver chest and arms; Greece, the bronze belly and thighs; and Rome, the iron legs. And a latter-day revival of the Roman Empire, the toes made of a mixture of iron and clay, will emerge and then will be destroyed by Christ at his second coming as he sets up an altogether different empire on the earth, this case a righteous empire called the Kingdom of God. It will rule over the nations and ultimately grow to great numbers as more and more individuals yield to its ways and are allowed to become a part of it. It will last forever.
What do these changes in U.S.-European relationships portend for your future? We'll be back to discuss this important question right after this.
The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is to many people its most confusing. They find its strange symbols and images puzzling and mysterious. But it need not be so. The book's very name means a revealing, a way to gain understanding. Its first verse tells us it was written to reveal things which must shortly take place. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Order today.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. 866-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
So the fourth empire of this prophecy, and almost all biblical scholars agree that that is the Roman Empire, which was, of course, centered in Europe. But what we're seeing here, what you're saying is then that this empire will once again be a major player on the world scene before the second coming of Christ.
Gary, that's right. The toes of the statue representing the last stages of the system begun in Nebuchadnezzar's day are a continuation of the fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire. This will be centered in Europe. The toes are to be smashed by Christ at his return, taking rulership of the earth away from man, and Christ will share it with the resurrected saints. Verse 44 of Daniel 2 says this, "And in the days of these kings, in the latter days represented by the ten toes, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." So Gary, when describing the statue, starting at the head, the last thing, obviously, is the toes. There are ten toes at the end, and when you carefully put all the prophetic scriptures together, you learn that the toes represent ten nations, or groups of nations, headed by ten kings who will be united together in these latter days, forming a final embodiment of the Roman Empire. And, of course, that could only be centered, as you said, in Europe, as was the ancient Rome of the Caesars.
I think when most people think of prophecy in the Bible, of course, they think of the New Testament book, Revelation, which seems so cryptic to so many people. It contains a lot of prophecies that are concerned with the second advent or second coming of Christ. Now, let's go back to Daniel 2 here. Is there a way of connecting Daniel 2 with the prophecies of Revelation?
Well, Gary, that is a huge subject. So we can only very briefly summarize it in this broadcast. That is how Daniel and Revelation tie together and give us a picture of end time events, especially in Europe. I would invite our listeners who are interested in a more detailed description of this subject to write in for our booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled. But let's briefly summarize it today. In Daniel chapter 7, there is another dream, this time a dream God gave to Daniel. In the dream, four great beasts appeared. The first was like a lion, the second like a bear, the third was like a leopard, and it had four heads. The fourth was a terrible and frightening beast with awesome power. It had ten horns. At the end of the dream, in the context of the horns of this fourth beast, it is revealed that one like unto the Son of Man, that's verse 13, will appear, remove authority from the beast, and set up a kingdom, an everlasting and righteous kingdom. Now, we understand these four beasts to represent the same four Satan-dominated human kingdoms that were pictured in Nebuchadnezzar's dream back in chapter 2. That is, the lion-like first beast was Babylon, the bear-like second kingdom was Persia, the leopard-like third kingdom was Greece. Its four heads were the four divisions of the Greek Empire that emerged following the death of Alexander the Great. And the horrible and powerful fourth beast was the Roman Empire. The ten horns of that beast were to be successive revivals down through history of the Roman Empire, the tenth one being on the scene and in opposition to the ways of God until destroyed by Christ at his second coming. Gary, there's one final feature of this remarkable dream. It's a little horn, not one of the ten horns of the fourth beast, but actually dominant over seven of these other horns, and a cruel oppressor of the people of God. God gives the explanation of the meaning of this other horn in verses 24 through 26. "He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume it and destroy it forever." Gary, we understand this to be a powerful religious system in league with the revivals of the Roman Empire that has opposed the truth of God and the people of God. And then finally, Gary, in Revelation chapter 13, we find much of the same imagery and symbolism. We see a great single composite beast, in this case not four, but one. But one having the features of the four beasts of Daniel 7. Its mouth is like a lion, its feet are like a bear, it's like a leopard, and it is imbued by Satan with great power and authority. It has seven heads and ten horns, which is the sum of the four beasts of Daniel 7. It seems to die, but then is resurrected, as indeed the Roman Empire seemed to end in the 5th century, but was then seemingly reborn in various European revivals over the centuries.
Is the European Union laying the foundation for the revival of this Roman Empire, which the Bible predicts will rise before the second coming of the Messiah? We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this message.
Human efforts at predicting the future are notoriously inaccurate. Self-proclaimed seers and prophets have been proven wrong time and time again. But there is a sure way to know what the future holds. It's written in advance in the pages of the Bible. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. This 32-page full-color booklet will take you through the major themes of the Book of Revelation, helping you discover how it all fits together. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're in today's final segment of Good News Radio. We're joined in our studio by Tom Kirkpatrick, a minister in the United Church of God. We've been discussing biblical prophecy and the rising power of the European Union. You know, we were talking about Revelation 13 and the beast that is mentioned there in Revelation 13, but there's actually two beasts in Revelation 13. How do these relate to each other?
Okay, Gary, as with Daniel 7, Revelation 13 features a companion imagery, that is another beast spoken of in verse 11, which seems to be what it is not really in its heart. It appears outwardly to be affiliated with Christ, the Lamb, but truly and secretly is empowered and led by Satan. As was the case with the little horn of Daniel 7, it brings great difficulty on the true servants of God because it sponsors false worship and it enforces it on pain of death. Verse 15, this second beast is allied with the first and has great supernatural evil power to deceive and force the masses to actually worship the image of the first beast and to receive an infamous mark on their right hand and forehead, indicative of their actions and beliefs.
Okay, Tom, so far we've looked at Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 13. I wish we had more time to go through all this. And here we see in Revelation 13 that there's two aspects of this power that rises. There's two types of power involved here. Where else can we go to help us understand these two types of power in this revised Roman Empire?
Gary, there's one other key place. That is Revelation 17. It contains another description of the same forces of Satan working through human kingdoms in opposition to God. We see the familiar pattern in Revelation 17, much like what we've seen in Daniel and in Revelation 13. We see a multi-headed beast with names of blasphemy on it. It is associated with another force, represented by a wicked woman. She is labeled Mystery Babylon the Great, and represents the same deceitful, powerful, spiritual opposition to the truth of God that has been present in the other prophecies, extending all the way back to Babylon and culminating in the various manifestations of the Roman Empire. This false religious system will be especially powerful and especially hard on the servants of God in the time just prior to the return of Jesus Christ to establish the kingdom of God's rule on the earth.
You know, it is interesting that the ancient Roman Empire was a political power, but they used religion, everything from emperor worship to eventually enforcing a syncretized Christianity in order to maintain unity among diverse peoples. So what you're saying is then that religion will once again play an important role in the coming revival of the Roman Empire.
Gary, I think it's impossible to draw any other conclusion from these prophecies we've looked at. The most striking point of it all is how great a part deception plays in all of this. The false religious system present in all these prophecies appears outwardly to the masses to be one thing, but in the eyes of God is exactly the opposite. Satan has been the master of deceit in dealing with human beings from the Garden of Eden forward to our time today. His goal is always the same, to turn people away from obedience and true worship of the one true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. He presents subtle substitutes which are not acceptable to God.
So it's important for Christians to be watching and be careful. I mean, we don't want to be deceived with this coming power that's going to deceive, according to the Scripture, the whole world. So what world events should we be looking for as Christians as precursors to the second coming?
Well, Gary, there are many, but two bear mentioning today. First, the rise in Europe of a multi-nation super-government with increasingly strained relations with the United States and Israel, as we've been discussing today. Second, the emergence and rising influence of a religious leader aligned with this European power and endowed with the power to work public miracles. When these things happen, Gary, those who know God will know that the return of Christ to end man's self-rule and establish the kingdom of God is very near.
Well, Tom, we really appreciate you joining us today on Good News Radio.
Thank you, Gary.
We have something from the mailroom here. Joe emailed Good News Radio. He says, I have listened to your radio show for about 3 months. I find it really thought-provoking. I particularly like this Sunday's analysis on the holiday of Easter. I believe you said on the show that you offer a booklet or information pamphlet on the Easter holiday. I also wonder what your views would be on other holidays, such as Christmas, Passover, etc. If there is a nominal fee for the information, I will be glad to send it to you. I always like to learn the views of other faiths. You sure seem to have your facts straight, which is rare to find in this day and age. Look forward to hearing back from you. Well, Joe, all literature offered on Good News Radio is free of charge, and we really do try to get our facts straight. We do occasionally read listener responses. If you would like to email us, the address is gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. A choice, it's up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is to many people its most confusing. They find its strange symbols and images puzzling and mysterious. But it need not be so. The book's very name means a revealing, a way to gain understanding. Its first verse tells us it was written to reveal things which must shortly take place. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Order today.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.